Last week on the Hodge Podcast.
Was an alcoholic and now he's homeless under the overpass. The Lacks are fucking terrible. I've never minded their voices. Fuck them. Fuck their noises. Fuck their existence. Fuck everything they've ever recorded. Fuck them. But if I have to read any more tweets by people saying, great song, Kenny, I love this song that you wrote. You're such a great mind. Everything you do is amazing. I'm gonna fucking flip out.
I remember when I first texted you about this, you're like, should we do 3 weeks in a row of depressing songs? I'm like, probably shouldn't, but I want to.
But we're going to anyway.
Because I know somewhere deep down in my heart, I still love you.
I didn't know you had a father. I thought we are all orphans.
Fuck! This club is spelled backwards!
You're talking to me? Well, who the hell else are you talking to? Talking to me?
Double Gooch.
Well, that's retarded.
To start recording, cause yours takes forever to start recording. Why does yours take so long to start recording? It is recording finally. Finally, finally, it's finally.
Hello, welcome to the Hodge Podcast, the official podcast of CountryHodgePodge.com. I am your host, Steve Hodge, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, cousin, and lover, Kevin Hodge. This week, we are continuing our countdown of the 25 saddest country songs ever. A lot of people commented on last week's being like, you forgot this song, you forgot this song. We still have 15 to go, people. And
don't you be
sorry, not
busting
all of them
that math out on me.
Yeah, math. But, yeah, people are like, oh, you forgot this song. I'm like we said in this episode, that we only have 25 to choose from. We are not going to get every sad country song, because
there are so many of them, and there are plenty of great ones that we might have missed and might say, oh shit, that is a great one. We made the list, and we're going through it, but also, please also still keep tweeting at us like that, because that was awesome.
Yeah, because we did get one message of like, oh, you forgot this song. I'm like, well, you just got to listen to the other two episodes, because it is on there.
Spoilers.
But sorry to the person who commented, Chris Knight. Sorry, we don't have any of his songs on here.
Spoilers. Oh, shit.
But yeah, we don't really have anything to bitch and moan about other than fantasy football starting up again.
I am so bad.
Yeah,
although I did the deep dive analysis on my last four seasons or three seasons or whatever the hell it's been, like four seasons, and yes, I am bad, but I have also been the victim of some absolute nonsense. The way that it has worked out in terms of like my points for differential and shit like that. There's no reason I should have never made the playoffs any of these years. It makes absolutely no sense, except for the one year that I was absolutely dog shit. That one made sense.
Yeah. it's like the one year I did it with a couple of friends from high school, and I remember almost every single week I had the second most points scored that week, and every single time it was against the person who had the most points that week. I ended the season with the most points for, but because I kept getting beat barely just because someone would outscore me, I had dog shit.
That's the thing that is so annoying about fantasy, is it's so much luck, and I have not been lucky at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Having but said that, I am excited for football to come back and play.
Oh, my God. I can't wait for football. I hate the NFL so much, but I love football so much.
I need the football back. I've been having these, like, daydreams about how excited I am to, like, wake up on Saturday morning and start watching college football and not have anything to do, and then it's really nice out, and then Sunday comes around, and I'm just watching football all day.
Yeah.
Oh, I need it.
Yeah, I don't even watch college football, but I do go to the gym Saturday mornings, and I always have college game day on while I'm on, like, the treadmill or something, because I don't care about college football. I don't have a college team I really root for. So, but if it's on at the gym, I just love sports, and I can't not watch something sports-related at the gym just because it's, like, energetic, so it gets you going. Like,
it's, like, the perfect thing to watch while you're doing – say you're on the bike or whatever the fuck. Like, it's the perfect thing to watch.
Except the one time last week when I was watching John Wick, because that movie gets you amped, too.
That'll work.
But, I can't wait for football. So, let's just dive right back in.
I ready for some football.
Let's just hop right back into the continuation of the saddest songs ever. So, everyone, get your Xanax ready. We're doing this. If you're joining in because of your artist that you like being tagged and you just discovered the podcast, please go back and listen to the previous episode. Listen to the first 10 songs we talked about. They're all phenomenal. Do you want to recap them or just
give it a quick rundown? Why not?
All right. So last week, this is after you went back to listen to that episode, obviously, because,
welcome back.
Welcome back. So really quickly, we had William Clark Green's Final This Time at 25. 24, Jake Owen, When You Love Someone. 23, Ward Davis, The Overpass. 22, Rascal Flatts, Hell Yeah, They're the Best Ever. Why is what the song's called. 21, Jake Owen and Travis Meadows, What We Ain't Got. I threw in the Jake Owen clip because I couldn't find Travis Meadows clip of it. Otherwise, I was going to use that one, but I just use the Jake Owen. Number 20, Merle Haggard's Misery and Gin. 19, Sean McConnell's Old Brown Shoes. 18, Keith Whitley's Don't Close Your Eyes. 17, Blaine Larson's How Do You Get That Lonely and Where the Hell Did That Guy Go? And then 16 was Joe Bachman's A Soldier's Memoir, which is ungodly sad, as is, this list. So, yeah, let's just hop right in.
Here we go.
Number 15, Whiskey Myers' Broken Window Serenade.
And then muddy water's flowing. And as you take my hand past the creek down by the hollow, through your daddy's land, and I could buy you a diamond, but I cannot change the world, cause I ain't got no money. You'll never be my girl. I thought you should know.
The song is about meth addiction.
So with this list that we made, it was interesting when I was trying to compile the songs that I was selecting, because there's the different kinds of sads. You got your breakup songs and everything about, relationships, and then you've got, people dying, which is very sad. And so this is one of those where it's this girl that the singer knows and, like, knew from their childhood, and, like, she just had a kind of dealt a shit card from the start. And then as he's grown up throughout his life, he's been still aware of her and the problems that she's had. And then when it comes to the culmination at the end where he says, I can't remember, he says you treat your addiction with your crystal meth. And then he talks about, then she's dead. And so then he's like going out to her grave with a flower and it's a rose. And it's like so unbelievably depressing because, like, for the whole song, it just doesn't feel like it's gonna end well, and then it doesn't.
Yeah, and this is, I was thinking about this when kind of compiling the lists and after we did last week's episode and stuff. There are two very distinct types of sad songs that we have on here. It's either kind of a woe is me, my heart's broken, and this bad thing happened to me. And then there's the other side of it where it's a sad story of the person is a part of the story, but they're telling a story about someone else.
Yeah.
It's kind of, so like this one and, what was the other one from last week? Oh, the overpass, where yeah. It's just like they're telling a story, like they are in the world of that story, but it's about someone else who's kind of going through shit. And I just realized that is such a cool thing. I think about country music over a lot of genres, really. I think country is really good at storytelling, where it's like, because obviously art is about expressing yourself and having your own feelings in your stories, but these songs are like telling a story about someone else, and they're really cool stories. And I realized I've never written a song like that, and I need to now. But so it's a really cool thing, and yeah, this song is not a happy one.
Yes, yeah, it is amazing though. Absolutely, yeah, absolutely amazing.
I think this was one of the first songs by Whiskey Myers that I had saved and was like regularly listening to
English.
Because like the first one I had heard by them was either Virginia or Lonely East Texas Nights, and I was obsessed with them ever since then. But this one was one I heard pretty quickly on because I was big on it.
Yeah, the first song I heard by them was the Ballad of a Southern Man, and so I was like, okay, it's just a whatever. And then I listened to the other stuff, and I was like, oh shit, really wish I would have heard that stuff first.
Yeah, and I know we talked about it a week or two or three ago about it's awesome that Whiskey Myers is getting a huge amount of recognition now thanks to Yellowstone. Like, all their albums were going, like, number one and shit. And so it's really cool. And if you came to this episode because you just heard about Whiskey Myers, and actually, Whiskey Myers, I think, is our third most listened to episode.
That's awesome. I believe. They're tremendous because they're one of those bands that I kind of forget about at times. And then when I listen to them, I'll go into a hard binge of all their stuff because it's amazing.
Yeah, because they're a very separate genre that they don't kind of naturally flow into my other playlists because they're a very southern rock band. They have a lot of good country songs, but for the most part, they are a pretty heavy southern rock band.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where they're kind of in their own little thing. Actually, I need to add their songs to my workout playlist because that would be some good shit to work out to, like Mud.
Yeah.
That'd be good. But yeah, so that song. Good. Number 14 is John Moreland's You Don't Care For Me Enough to Cry.
And you need something stronger, a drug to kill the hunger, and ease the awful pain of living here. Well, I'm the kind of love it hurts to look at. Maybe we should take it as a sign. When I'm strung out on leaving, exalting all my demons, and you don't care for me enough to cry.
Oh, this is
I mean, it's just like you just read the title, and it already is a bit of a gut punch, and it's just John Moreland has this way of writing songs and, you know, conveying emotions that it's almost poetic. And song is just, you know, unbelievably depressing because the way that he has it, like with this line, you don't care for me enough to cry. It's not just you don't care for me and the guy's sad that she doesn't care. It's this extra level of, you know, ambivalence towards the person towards the narrator where they don't care. And they're, you know, the narrator is dying because of it, because of this, you know, just, you know, pleading for something and it's just being completely indifferent to his feelings essentially. And it's just an extra layer of emotion that he put into it that I think is tremendous and kind of what he does with all of his songs.
Yeah, and it's like this feeling of you could just not care about someone and it would hurt and you're done, but it's like you don't even care enough to even show an emotion that I'm, like, suffering like this, that you're just like, eh, it's fine, and you're just pretty much straight-faced while the other person is crumbling, and it's a real painful sentiment. And John Moreland is now 0-for-2 for playing this song when we see him live, and it makes me really sad because I really want to see this fucking song live.
But, this is probably my favorite. This one in 3:59 a.m. and Break My Heart Sweetly are kind of all right in there. Like the three of them, I find it hard to pick a favorite out of those. But now that he hasn't played this one live, I'm like, damn it, I want to see it live.
Yeah, it's definitely this and 3:59 a.m. that are my favorite. 3:59 a.m. was on my list for a little bit, but then I realized I'm pretty sure it's a love song, not a
sad
song.
It is a love song.
Yeah, because it's just, like, when we did the episode on him, oh, God, over a year ago probably.
Oh, it was way back.
When talking about the lyrics and just not knowing really what some of his songs were about, because they're so poetic and so, like, it's like everything's a metaphor, so yeah, it's so hard to kind of
and you kind of have to give it a deep dive. And I feel like at the time that we recorded that podcast, I had a lot of the ideas about his songs, but I didn't do enough of a deep dive to really look into them. And so I would really be interested in doing, I mean, we're going to end up redoing artists eventually anyway, especially as they release new music. But that'll be one for sure that'll be good to go back over.
Yeah, and just a spoiler alert for if this is your first episode or second episode, we never do research before this. our second, third episode ever was Jason Isbell, and we were very new to the podcasting game, and we got a message just saying how amateurish we are and how wrong we were, and I was just like, yeah, that's accurate. We're not that great at this.
True.
And actually, don't go back and listen to like the first 25 episodes because they're not very good.
What are you talking about? They're amazing. Listen to everyone.
Maybe once we hit like in the 20s, it started getting good. But I think our first episode worth listening to is episode 26, I believe, which is the Erin Enderlin interview because she's amazing. Yes, and you should listen to Erin Enderlin. But yeah, anyway, number 13, Brantley Gilbert's Saving Amy. I'd do anything to kiss the tears right off her face. Tell her everything's okay. Feel her heart beating next to mine. And make up for lost time. Oh my God, I know I can't, but you can't. So we did an episode on Brantley Gilbert a little bit ago, which apparently someone hated us for because apparently he said we made fun of his faith, and I haven't listened to the, I haven't listened to the episode again, but I don't think we've ever mocked anyone's faith because we are Christians. And
until
why would we,
now.
Why would we mock someone?
Get ready, Jews,
someone?
You're going down.
The only faith I could see us mocking is his stupid Second Amendment tattoo, because it is a stupid tattoo. I'm sorry.
It is a dumb tattoo.
And as I've said before, I have dumb tattoos, so I can say that. But this song,
I am a dumb tattoo.
But as we said on the episode, Brantley Gilbert is someone who's really talented. It's just that his decisions in his career lately have just been terrible, and I don't know why the fuck he's doing what he's doing.
I think his brain is fogged with engine exhaust from all the...
yeah, and it's just a bummer, because, like, I was really torn between this and You Promised, because You Promised is, like, painfully sad, like the way he sings it, but I just feel like this one is sadder because it's like it's a story of an engagement. Like they got engaged and he died on the way home from the dinner where he proposed, and so it's just this song about him looking down on his girlfriend and how she's kind of, or fiance, and seeing how she's slowly moving on and all this, and he's like, it's too late to save me, but thank you for saving Amy. And it's just this heart punch. It's just a painful song to listen to, and it's so good, and it goes to show how good he could have been if he decided to actually make better fucking music.
What could have been the Brantley Gilbert story.
The song is so fucking good. It's actually one that I regularly go out of my way to listen to because of how good it is. And I wish I could say the same for the rest of his music. But yeah. Number 12, the greatest cover of a song ever in the history of ever, Johnny Cash's Hurt.
What have I become? My sweetest friend. Everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all. My empire of dirt. I will let you down. I will make you hurt.
Yeah, guess the song.
Yeah, I was gonna say
written by Trent Reznor.
Yeah, I was gonna say Trent Reznor's Hurt.
Yeah, Trent Reznor's Hurt. Yeah, so if you don't know, this is a cover of Trent Reznor, who's the singer of Nine Inch Nails, also did the soundtrack for The Social Network, because that's a fact.
That is a fact.
But, so Johnny Cash covered this song very shortly before he died, I'm pretty sure.
I think it was on that album, American Man 4, or whatever the hell it was called. I want to say he had one more album that came out after that, but it was still relatively close to when he died, so that last album might have come out after he died.
Well, because I feel like I could be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure I watched a video about him, and they said, like, this song was the last, I think, video he put out, and, like, his whole family was, like, in tears because he wasn't in good health at the time when it was coming out, and so they're all, and he's just like, no, this is just a song to show you kind of, like I'm not done kind of thing. And it's just such a, like, he puts so much, cause if you have heard the Nine Inch Nails version of this, I don't think it's that good. And I'm pretty sure even Trent Reznor has said, like, this is a Johnny Cash song.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It's the way that Johnny does it. I feel like, you know, and again, I heard this version first and heard it a bunch of times before I heard the Nine Inch Nails one.
Yeah.
But I think that the tempo, the minimalism, all of it makes so much more sense with the lyrics to this song. And when Nine Inch Nails has that, you know, heavy, distorted, you know, whatever the fuck.
I'm not a huge Nine Inch Nails fan anymore. Well, I like a lot of, actually, they do have some music I do like, but for the most part, I'm not a huge
Nine Inch Nails don't listen fan. To them, so I don't even really have an opinion one way or the other. But I can certainly say that this song, Johnny Cash, does way better, because this song is tremendous. This is one of those songs that people who don't listen to country music, it's really not even like a country song, it's just like an acoustic song. It's a song that, like, everybody knows, and so a lot of people do know the words and know how it's this, you know, this, the narrator is, you know, dying and looking back on his life and, you know, regrets and all these things. And it's unbelievably sad in a sense, but it's also one of those that I don't even necessarily think about it as a sad song that much, despite the lyrics, just because of the way that it's presented, almost in a you know retrospection, reflection way, where I don't think he's trying to, like, he's not searching for pity. The narrator's not really searching for pity, I don't think, in a certain sense. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of just a, like, I know I've lived a poor life type thing. And it's, and he's not begging for forgiveness or anything. He's just kind of out there saying, like, I've fucked up a lot and I'm taking
I fucked up and there's a lot of things that are bullshit that people care about. And, you know, it's really interesting. But it's, you know, it's a classic.
If I were to really think about it, it's not like one of the saddest songs out there. It's just that it's so beautifully done, and it happens to be a sad song. That is why it's so fucking good, and it's such a legendary song. Yeah. And honestly, in my opinion, it might be Johnny Cash's best song. I know that could be a big, arguably, you know, whatever thing, but it's definitely the Johnny Cash song I listen to the most. But obviously that's my opinion.
You shut your opinion face.
Next is good old No Show, number 11, George Jones, He Stopped Loving Her Today.
I went to see him just today. but I didn't see no tears. All dressed up to go away. First time I'd seen him smile in years. He stopped loving her today. It placed a wreath upon his door, and soon they'll carry him away. He stopped loving her today.
So this is one where I have a bone to pick with you because of the fact that I don't think you had it on your list at all.
Oops. No, I didn't.
This one or the next one. And so I have to put the disclaimer out there so when people are just like, wait a second, did you just say that number 11 is George Jones, He Stopped Loving Her Today, number fucking 11? And I will say, yeah, it's Steve's fault. Blame him. But getting into this song, it's quote, the saddest song ever made, and it really is a depressing song because it's about this guy who's, you know, has a relationship fail, and then he's like, says that he's never going to get over her, and then finally the day that he finally stops loving her is the day that he died.
I'll love her till I die.
Yeah.
And so that's why the line is, he stopped loving her today. Because they never say that he dies. It's just, it's implied because he said he stopped loving her today. Because they
talk about the funeral procession, and then the funeral happens, and they're like, I didn't know if she would show up, so it's pretty clear that he's dead.
Well, no, I know, it's clear that he's dead, I'm saying, but it's never said, like, the word he's dead is never said. It's never said that it's a funeral, because they say they place the wreath upon his door. They don't say it, like, on his casket. It's like she showed up, but they didn't say what she showed up to. So
If someone wasn't paying attention and they listened to this, they'd have no idea if he was dead or not.
No, I know. I'm not saying, like, it's not obvious. I'm just saying it's implied. It's not told to you that he's dead. It's something you have to infer from the song, and I like that because
like
it's not
most songs.
I know. I'm just saying it's not because most songs would be like, and he passed away when he hit the car or whatever, and like. So I like it that it's a very poetically written song where it's not just like, he said he'd love her till he died, and then it just gets the chorus, it's like, and he died!
Yeah, because that would be a shitty song.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I love that about the song, is how cleverly written it is. The only reason I didn't put it on there is because I just feel like there's so many, I mean, it really was on my, like, top 30. I think I cut it, like, last second. It's such an amazing song. It's just even though the story is ungodly depressing, obviously, because it's that he died and he died loving this woman, it's kind of, like I said on last week's episode, some of the older songs are kind of more upbeat, even though they're more sad, and it's not a song that's saying, like, so depressingly. It sounds not upbeat, but it sounds kind of, I don't know. It
you
doesn't
can keep
sound
digging
like
this hole
died.
If you'd like to.
Whatever. It's an amazing song. I'm not mad it's on the top 25. On another day, I might have it on my top 25. Actually, did I have it on my top 25? It might not have. Let me check. No, I didn't. All right. Anyway. Number 10, another guy who with the same name, George Jones.
Unrelated.
Unrelated. It's a different George Jones. The Grand Tour.
Over there sits the chair where she'd bring the paper to me and sit down on my knee and whisper, oh, I love you. Now she's gone forever, and this old house will never be the same without the love that we once knew.
Yeah, so this one I had above He Stopped Loving Her Today because it's obviously unbelievably.
Was your number one.
Yeah, this was my number one. It's obviously.
Is He Stopped Loving Her Today 2 for you?
Wait, what?
Was He Stopped Loving Her Day 2 for you?
No, it was 3. Another song that is later on in the list was number 2 for me.
Oh, yeah, duh.
Yeah. But this song is, on the surface, it sounds like a guy who's, you know, going through a breakup, and he's, like, saying, like, come on in my house, and, he, like, the grand tour is him taking the person around his house and pointing out different areas where he and his, you know, former love used to do things, and it's like, you know, you can almost see as if she'd be right here, like you could see her where she brings the paper to me. But the reason that I thought and put this one as 1 instead of He Stopped Loving Her Today was after after I saw Tyler Manco's tweet about how the woman died, presumably in childbirth, and so I went back through and listened to it, and I was like, oh my god, that makes so much sense, and that is so unbelievably depressing that it's not just a guy talking about this person that left him and he's sad about it. It's she was pregnant, because he talks about, you know, right there's the nursery, and then when he says the line, like, she left me with, you know, she took, I don't know, left with nothing and took nothing but our baby and her heart. And so it sounds like he's just a breakup or whatever, but you're like, oh, well, how did she take the baby the whole time, yeah, forever? Like, how is the baby never going to come back into this? And it's like, oh, they're dead because she died and the baby didn't make it. And so now he's in this shell of a home because they're dead now.
Yeah, where it sounds kind of like that she got custody of the kid kind of thing. Like, she took the kid with her when she left, and it ends up, no, she took the kid from the world.
And that's why he's even more broken up about it. And, like, because then the lines, like, when he says, like, and she left me without mercy, like, it sounds like he's being kind of dramatic until you think about, well, if she died and they're like, you know, there's nothing that he could do, and there's, you know, no mercy because the baby's gone too. It's just unbelievably depressing. A beautiful song, but also unbelievably depressing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, if I had known that before, I'm sure it would have been higher on my list. Are you got any more on that?
No. Good song.
R.I.P. Possum. Number 9 is Mo Pitney's It's Just a Dog.
It's just a dog, right? Just an old mutt riding shotgun. Get my seats all muddy. Just the one who I come home to. Just my best fishing buddy.
All right, this song
is about cats.
Yeah. I think, all right, this song I had to put on, and I actually had this song as, you're going to hate me for this, I had it at number 1. Because there are other songs out there that are way sadder than this song, obviously. But this song is the only song I have saved on Spotify where I have to hit next every single time it comes on because of how sad it is. Like, I physically cannot stand listening to this song because of how sad it is. Maybe it's because it came out right after my dog died. Probably. But the song is... So if any of you have ever lost a dog, which is a shitty feeling, of course, obviously, there are songs about death of people in this, which are sad as well.
But, I was going to say, I see what you're saying, that the death of a dog is way sadder than any other breakup or death of a human.
Well, I guess I can honestly very happily say that I haven't lost a family member since our grandpa in 1999, so I don't have to really... my other grandpa died last year, but he was on his way out. So I guess, all right, never mind. It's last year. But I just keep forgetting that because
I know, but the way
he was around for so long.
I know,
so.
But the way that you phrased it was like, I haven't really lost anyone except for my grandparents, other than my other grandpa, but he was on his way out.
Well, because
that's
his
what dying means.
Not to take death lightly, but his mind was gone for about 10 years before he passed away, so it was... It wasn't really that surprising when he passed away, whereas Grandpa Hodge died younger.
Yeah.
My grandpa on this side was in his 90s. Other grandpa was 72, I think, something like that. He was pretty young. But yeah, so this song, anyway, is about a dog, And it's just this kind of, the way he says it, it's like, I was driving and I saw this dog on the side of the road. He goes, why should I pick it up? It's just a dog, right? And that's the crux of the song, is him saying, it's just a dog. And so it's all these, like, why should I do this? It's just a dog. Why should I do this? And then at the end, when he's just like, the dog's not acting the same, I have to pull over to the side of the road because he's not acting the same. And so it's like, why am I sitting on the side of the road crying? It's just a dog, right? And it's just so fucking painful to listen to him sing it that way. And whew, it hits me hard.
It's like the embodiment of all of those movies where the dog dies at the end and you're just like, you motherfuckers, mm-hmm. you built me up and then you tore me down.
It's like, what is it? It's just like, why is it that when people die in movies, I don't care, but that dog better survive?
Oh my God. It's uncomfortably true.
Yeah. But yeah, this song, it's literally, because he's like, is so, the way he brings those lyrics to life is so painful that I genuinely cannot listen to the song. I hit next every time it comes on because I'm like, I don't need to hear a song where he cries about his dog dying. It's too painful. So that's why I had it at number one, because though my number two and most of the other songs are sadder, this song just personally hits me hard. So that's why I had it at number one. But yeah, so other songs that are sad. Number eight, Jason Isbell's Elephant.
I'd sing her classic country songs, and she'd get high and sing along. She don't have a voice to sing with. We burn these joints in effigy, cry about what we used to be, try to ignore the elephant song.
The rest of this top is songs that we both had on our tops. So every song from here on out is ones that me and Kevin both agree that are ungodly sad. So this song,
Cancer
is not
lighthearted, and this song deals with a person dying from cancer in a very real way. And it's
not romanticized.
No, it's unbelievably well written. I mean, if you've listened to Isbell at all, you know that he is a tremendous songwriter. And so the way that he paints this picture of you know, their life together, as she's, you know, fading away, is, it's dark, but it's beautiful, and it's sad and depressing. And I just really love, like, you know, it's not a lot going on, and then all of a sudden there's the slide guitar comes in, and it's just, it has this unbelievable tone to it that it's beautiful. It really is.
Yeah, Jason Isbell can really punch you in the nards with with some sadness. I don't have much else to add to that. I don't want to get called out for being wrong about everything.
we can't actually touch this one other than the
fact
that
we can't actually talk about
she definitely has cancer. And then that's it.
Yeah, I just, the lyric that always gets me is, I think it's just the way he delivers it. It's just the line of, if I'd fucked her before she got sick. I don't know why.
I've thought about that line a lot. Because he, you know, he chooses to swear, and then the way that he delivers it, I think is really, really interesting. Because I feel like it's a little bit more powerful, because it's almost said in jest to the way that people refer to him, as if that he, like, you know, wouldn't have cared or anything like that. And, you know, like, maybe he's only hanging around her because of his, you know, feeling guilty about something kind of thing. Like, it's really interesting. And I think, you know, like every word in most well-written songs, like every word has its place and is thought about why it's there. But I think he really made a deliberate choice to do it like that. And it's really interesting the way that it stands out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Fucking fantastic song.
Oh, yeah.
Another fantastic song is number seven, Travis Meadows' It Gets Better.
They say it gets better. I don't see no change in the rainy weather. Maybe I just heard wrong altogether. Read a book, call a friend, get a
Travis Meadows, as if you haven't listened to the episode where we talk about him, go back and listen to that episode, please, because we talk about 10 of his songs that are worth listening to, and this one is just, I think it's the top of all of his songs. I love so many songs by Travis Meadows, but I think this one is just the king because of he, as we've talked about before, he is the king of delivering just sad fucking lyrics. And this one is just this whole thing of he takes the line of where everyone's like, it gets better, and he kind of says it sarcastically, where he's just like
talking about how it gets better.
Where he's just talking about how his life is going to hell, and he's just like, well, when does this it gets better take place? Like, when does that actually take effect? Why isn't it getting better? Because his life is just in the pits.
The way that he describes it and, you know, just tries to go about his life, it hasn't happened, and so he's like, I guess I'll believe them, and I'll keep trying, you know, to just go about my business until it does get better. But he also just, you know, keeps acknowledging, that ain't happened yet. And it's a wonderful song, and it is very depressing. It does have a bit to it where you kind of like you believe, you know, because we're humans, that it will get better. So when you think of the song, you think of this guy, and you're like, It will, man, but as you listen to the song, it's like, oh, fuck, it's sad.
Yeah, because the first line of the song is, I keep waiting on the magic they say supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, if I do what they say I need to do. It's like, they're saying, just do this, do that, do this, it'll get better. And he's like, I'm doing that. When's it going to get better? It's not getting better.
You lied to me.
Yeah, you motherfucker. Oh, Travis Meadows. Yeah, and his life is also super interesting. If you ever have a chance, look up kind of what he's been through in his life, and it's insane. Like,
oh, yeah.
I was also torn between... Well, we had What We Ain't Got, because obviously that's amazing as well. I was also thinking of Learn How to Live Alone, because... But that one is kind of uplifting, because he is talking about, like, I'm doing better with my life. I'm eating better. I'm going to sleep around 10. Like, I'm doing this and that. And so I was like, it's not... It is a sad song, but It Gets Better is just, like, way sadder.
I agree.
And it's a much better. And also, I didn't want to have 500 songs by one artist on here, because I'm sure we could make 25 sad songs just by fucking Cody Jenkins.
Well, that was the thing. When I first was putting it together, I had a bunch of John Moreland, Jason Isbell, and Travis Meadows, and I was like, I have to spread the wealth. I'm just going to pick a couple. And go from there.
Yeah. I got down to 50 fairly quickly songs, and it was impossible to get to 25 after that.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And then finally for this week is number 6, BJ Barham's Unfortunate Kind.
It was a good time. Just a bad decision. We were all wrapped up with the best intentions. You were out of my league, and I was running out of time to string together words that were gonna make you mine. Ain't it funny how it all works out? Ain't it funny how it all works out? Ain't it funny how every now and then the unfortunate kind get lucky sometimes?
We talked about this when we did American Aquarium not that long ago. So if you don't know, BJ Barham is the lead singer of American Aquarium. If you don't know that, what the fuck is wrong with you? You should know that. this song is just... It starts off as this kind of... The tone of the song is sad from start to finish.
Yeah.
Like, there's no uplifting moment he sings in this, but the start of the song, you think it's going to be an upbeat song.
Because it sounds like what it's going to be is this story about people rising out of, like, the ghetto and it being all right, because, you know, he has the line, the unfortunate kind get lucky sometimes. So you're like, oh, we're gonna be moving up.
Yeah.
And then
he has the lyric of, like, they said we wouldn't last a year, but 37 years later, kind of here we are.
The part in this song where he just, like, all the sound drops out, and then it's just his voice. And he said, I believe the line is just like, and then she got sick, or
yeah, and
however
then you got sick.
Yeah, and however he says it, and there's no sound other than that. It's one of the saddest pieces of music I have ever heard.
Oh yeah, because he goes, and then you got sick, and there's just a very subtle guitar in the background because it's just him acoustic, and so and then you got sick, and things just weren't the same. And it's just like, holy fuck. And then, of course, it's been 2 years to the day. I'm sitting here alone, and it's just like, oh, my. It's just, it goes from, like, these people who beat the odds and stayed together, and then she passed away, and now he's just living a life alone, and it's impossible for him to kind of keep going. And he kind of ironically uses the line, even the unfortunate kind get lucky sometimes. And it's just like,
but yeah, but he has a little bit of that, you know. He's happy for the life that he's been able to have with her while they had it, but now it's so goddamn sad.
Yeah.
Ugh.
BJ Barham is one of the better, like, I know I say it a lot about, like, Isbell and Moreland and stuff, but BJ Barham is one of the best lyricists out there right now. Like, if you haven't heard American Aquarium's Things Change, their newest album, it's fantastic.
Yep.
Wolves is amazing. Burn, Flicker, Die. But BJ Barham's solo album, it's called Rockingham, I believe, is what it's called. And it is, it's so good. Just check it out. But Unfortunate Kind is by far, I think, was it our number one that week when we did them?
It certainly might have.
I'm going to check really quick. I feel like it was because I don't know how the hell it wouldn't have been. Nope, I lied. Jacksonville was number one by them. Unfortunately, I was number two. But Jacksonville, that was actually on my list, too. And I was just like, I got to do Unfortunate Kind because Unfortunate Kind is just, it's just, painful how, as we say, haunting.
Oh,
It is.
But it really is.
Yeah. So that's it for this week. Next week, we'll be doing the top five saddest songs ever. So those ones are really going to punch you in the nards if these ones haven't already. Let me just look at them really quick. But yeah, so that's it for this week's things. Shit. Did I write down what albums came out last week? Fuck. Let me see. No, I did not, because I'm a dipshit. Oh, wait, no, I wrote down some of them. All right, first off is, we'll go first, Shooter Jennings' album, Shooter. I don't listen to Shooter Jennings that much. Like, I have some songs saved by him, and a thing ringing saying that it's 9:30 right now. Cool. I'm just going to talk over it. Yeah, he's not one I've listened to too much. Like, I love his dad, obviously. I listen to Waylon a lot. But because Shooter's had, like, just weird phases of different albums that just sound not country. And I'm just like, I don't know what this guy's about. But this album is so fucking good. Like, I really love this album. And I'm now really excited to see him at Medicine Stone. Because if this is the type of music he's going to play, I'm going to be real excited to see him. Because even though I'm a little hypocritical saying this, because obviously we made fun of Simple for spelling out S-I-M-P-L-E or whatever, he has a song called Drunk where he spells out, I'm D-R-U-N-K drunk. And it's actually a pretty funny song. Like, it's a good drinking song. And but yeah, I just really like this album. And I like that it's out.
You're an album.
Next is William Clark Green's, is it Hebert Island? Hebert?
I've been saying Hebert in my brain, but I don't think I've actually said it out loud until now.
Because
so.
He says it in one of his songs, and I think he pronounces it Hebert, but I could be wrong. I don't know. But Hebert Island by William Clark Green, it's good. I think I like Ringling Road better, but it's still a good album. I'm definitely not hating on it, but like, I like the song Goner. I like the song Poor. She Loves Horses is pretty good. This Is Us, which is, all right, no, it's not his last song on the album. I'm stupid. And I Miss You. Also I fucking hit myself. but yeah, it's a good album. I do think I like Ringling better, but it is fantastic. If you like William Clark Green, you'll like that album. Next up is Jason Eadie's I Travel On. fan-fucking-tastic.
Yeah, so, I was waiting to drop this bomb of I haven't had time to listen to all the albums, and so the only one I've listened to so far is this one. But I absolutely
loved it. Let me check out Shooters.
Yeah, well, I've heard, I listened to, like, 4 of them from Shooters. I haven't been able to listen to music at work lately because I've been going all over the place.
To the moon.
Exactly. I am an astronaut.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, so this is the only one I've listened to in its entirety of this past week. This is definitely my favorite of the past week. But I absolutely loved it. This is going to be in contention for top albums for me for the year, for sure, because
it might be on there for me, too.
Loved it. It's like he heard me when I was talking to myself about how I really think there should be more Dobro in the world, and he's like, I got you, man. I'm going to fucking light this bitch up with Dobro.
I've really loved the first song on the album, I Lost My Mind in Carolina.
Oh,
I think it's... I love that song. I mean, I love the whole album, but... Yeah, it's real. I was actually listening to it in the gym the other day. It's not easy to work out to country music, but I do it sometimes. Especially when I'm just sitting on the bike. It's not that hard. But yeah, so that's a fantastic album. Then two more really quickly. Robbie Fulks and Linda Gale Lewis's Wild, Wild, Wild. It's a very old school, like old school sounding country album. And it's really good. The old school country isn't really my sound. It's not bad, obviously. I like all country except pop, but it's not one I'm going to go back to a lot because I not to be the stupid argument of country has to evolve, but it just sounds old and I'm not huge on it. It's it's good, but it's not for me.
I just want you to know that having not listened to it at all, I'm about to judge you really hard in my brain for the next several hours.
Just listen. I mean, it's very. Like, very, like, 40s and 50s sounding, but not, like, Joshua Headley old school sounding. It's, like, older. I don't know. Just listen to it. If it's your sound, it's your sound. I'm not hating on it. And then finally, the Magpie Salutes High Water 1. Really good. They're kind of a Whiskey Myer-ish type sounding band.
There, oh, nice.
So I think you'd really like it, so I'd check one out, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Magpie Salutes High Water 1. It's really good. Yeah, that's it for last week's albums. I think that's it for this week as well. So please find us at CountryHodgePodge.com on the social medias, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Country Hodgepodge. Spotify, you can find the Hodgepodgecast picks where every week I upload the songs we talk about on that podcast, and so you can listen to them. Also, Kevin's picks of the week, you can find that on a link through the website, or we tweet it out every Monday. I forgot to tweet it this week because I'm also super busy at work.
You can tweet it really quick before you put this podcast up, and then that means you've put it up before.
I tweeted it out. It's just that it was dated wrong on Twitter. I don't know
Twitter's
why it says
stupid.
Thursday night.
They missed it. It was their fault.
Stupid Twitter. goddamn Trump.
Now you're getting how Twitter works.
Yeah, Trump. Boo stuff. actually, it was funny. I had a status from last year on my like memories today on Facebook. It just that Twitter just said, "Get off Twitter, Trump. You stupid fuck." So for the people who think I'm some right-wing Trumpster, I am not. But anyway. Then as every Friday, we tweet out Friday's new music, where albums like the ones that came out last week are on that list. Buy one of our dumb shirts on a link through the site or TeePublic. Just search Country Hodgepodge. I'm actually wearing it's not on there anymore, but I'm wearing my Walker Hayes shirt right now. Yay. it's not on the store anymore because I have to edit it to make it look a little better, and then I'm going to put it back up. You can find me on Instagram at @CHP_Clifftron, Kevin on Twitter and Instagram, @CHP_Church. Mm-hmm. Please rate and review the podcast on iTunes. I saw we got a couple more reviews, so we're getting up there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, keep reviewing us. It's insane how many people are listening to us. I mean, we're not like fucking Rogan. We don't have millions of listeners, but...
they don't know that.
The fact that we are 15 days into the month and we're already the most listened to month of our whole podcast lifespan is insane. Like, it became the most at 12 days.
Yeah,
which is
it's honestly, you know, I don't want to keep saying it over and over again because it'll just sound disingenuous. Well, no, it's like, it'll sound disingenuous if I say this repeatedly, but it's true. every time that we hit a new, you know, landmark, milestone, whatever the fuck you want to call it, of listens and follows and all that stuff and interaction, it always blows my mind because I never thought we'd get anywhere close to where we're at. And so I really appreciate all of you, and I really do mean it. Tweet shit at me, and I will try to respond, like, because I really love it.
Yeah, literally last month when we became the most listened to month by a little farther than what it was previously, I was just like, well, that sucks because we peaked and now we're never going to get that high again. And then we literally do it in 12 days. And it's unbelievable that people are listening to us that much. We're stupid, and I don't know why you listen to us, but hopefully we introduce you guys to some good country music. That's all. That's literally all we want to do this podcast for. So it's amazing that you guys are listening, and it's awesome. Maybe it's because we're on Google Play now. Maybe we get that Google crowd now.
Maybe it's because that one guy said that these dudes are trash.
Yeah, that is true. One guy did call us trash. So. I mean, it's true. We are, but it's fine.
Yeah, it's be like that that bar sign that's been viral on the internet where it was just like quotes, and it was just like home of the shittiest margarita this one guy on Yelp had that one time.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I have seen that. That's super funny. I love that fucking thing. Yeah,
so we like... are that shitty trash podcast that one guy said that one time.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a lot of, like, I mean, one of our reviews on iTunes says like amateurish. I was like, yeah, pretty true. Yeah, it's accurate. It's like, well, it's like amateurish, but you'll find some hidden gems. I'm like, good. I mean, yeah, you can hate us all you want, but hopefully we're introducing you to good country music because that's all we care about. But yeah, anyway, that's it for this week. Next week, we're going to be doing the next top five great Sam Hunt songs. So until next week, I'm Steve Hunt, as always, joined by Kevin saying goodbye, good night, and good Charlotte.